Hey folks, welcome to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray, and with me as always is...
Well, T-Ray, I got a new name. I got a letter in the mail, believe it or not, from Coach Wada. Said if I don't change my name, he's going to start bunting more. So
I guess he was offended. He was offended by your definition or whatever of Pombiki, and so...
I guess so. So I went ahead this week, changed my name. I'm now known as the Wizzo. Oh.
Wizzo. I like it. Because you're a big O fan. So we got a little bit of a pun in there. That's great. Yeah, that's cool. Well, obviously, Wada didn't get the memo that you changed your name quick enough because there was a lot of bunting going on this week, wasn't there?
Too much.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll get to that a little bit later. Maybe during the recaps, maybe during What an Idiot, What a Disaster. We'll see. Anyways, Mike, how was your week, buddy?
It was pretty good. Working as usual. That's the first thing. Getting my school started. Gotta get my degree. And then, Of course, the letdown that was Henshin baseball. So, all in all, everything was good. But my wife did go to Osaka. She went to the Umeda. Went to the Henshin Tiger store. Got me a bunch of stuff. I mean, I got a Tiger's hat. I got the happy now. I got Henshin Tiger cookies. I'm set. I got a good little setup going on. I'm really happy. And so I guess that was all the, I sucked up all the good at one time. So now I'm kind of like, suffering a little bit, but that's okay. It'll all even out.
Yeah, right. So yeah, it's a great store. Actually, I'm going to be heading there tomorrow. So I'll pick up any leftovers that your wife didn't get. And, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
That's great,
yeah,
man.
Definitely. I'll send you the, you're going to have a Santa scroll here pretty soon.
Sweet. All right. Well, hey, man, during my week, I actually got a new kind of side job during the week, so it was pretty fun.
Oh, what is it? What are you doing?
Actually, I don't know if any of you out there know this, but I'm kind of an aspiring translator, and one of my contacts actually told me that Netflix is coming to Japan and they need a bunch of the synopses of the shows translated into English. So I'm getting all these synopses of Japanese anime, Korean dramas, other stuff that they need translated into English. And so I've been working on that. And it's pretty fun, just to look at all these different shows that I haven't been exposed to and trying to figure out how to put them into, interesting language for people to understand. So it's pretty sweet.
Oh, that's amazing. I tell you what, we love Korean dramas. And so those things will suck you in. Wow, that's huge. That's huge. When does it start?
Yeah. It already started. I don't know. Netflix, I think, doesn't start until it's the end of next month. I think they launch something like that. The end of September or something like that. But, the work as far as translating synopses started a couple weeks ago, and it's going to keep going until all the synopses are done, I guess. So, pretty fun stuff.
Wow.
Anyways, we don't want to talk too much about non-Tiger stuff or else people are going to tune us out. So let's get to it, Wizzo. We're going to get into the week recap, and then we're going to talk about Mr. Wada. Then we'll go to Player of the Week. Our special corner for this week is who is the key to the Tigers' success in September. And then we're going to finish up with predictions for the upcoming week. So stick around, folks. We'll be back in just a second. All right, Wizzo.
I'm here.
The week with the Tigers was not a fun one to watch, was it?
No, and a lot of people out there know I am in this area. So, the Typhoon ruined one game, but it's certainly, the Typhoon just ruined all three of them for us, down here. But yeah, it was not a good week at all.
Absolutely not. So, yeah. Wizzo's down in the Hiroshima area, and the first game was canceled because of the typhoon that came in, and the Tigers lost the next two. They lost 4-2 on Wednesday and 2-0 on Thursday. The Wednesday game, Nomi started, and as I was watching the game, man, the announcers kept on saying again and again, Nomi pitched 4 perfect innings against the Giants, and then he fell apart in the 5th inning last week. And I got sick of hearing it, but then actually almost the same thing happened in this game, right? He fell apart in the wasn't it the fourth inning this time? And he allowed a bunch of runs, and so the Tigers fell behind and did not come back until the ninth inning when Umeno hit a two-run home run, and we threatened to tie or even take the lead, but we just couldn't come through 4-2 in that one. And then the next game, Iwata came to the mound, and he was going up against their Chris Johnson. Is that right? Or was that the Maeda game?
That was the Maeda game.
That was the Maeda game. That's right. Johnson was the 4-2 game, and Johnson shut us out for 8 innings. Then Maeda came in and shut us out for 8 innings on Thursday, 2-0. Once again, they brought in their closer in the ninth inning, and we got a couple of guys on base, so we threatened again. We knocked on the door, but he slammed it shut, and we lost that one. Iwata, for his part, allowed a solo home run to Mr. Eldridge on their team, and one of our relievers allowed another run, and that was all she wrote, 2-0. So the Carp series was a beautiful sweep for them, an ugly one for us. Overall impressions, Wiz?
Well, you know, I looked at Johnson, I looked at Maeda, and one thing struck me is that they didn't even look tired. They didn't even look winded. They didn't even look like they were bothered with going out there. And that's not a good thing for us. That definitely says that we're not doing what we should be doing as Tigers. Oh, my goodness. It was bad. And for Iwata, I mean, I don't know the exact count. I would say probably 6 to 7 Ks, no walks. And the guy gets nothing in the end except to sit there, you know, like a puppy who just watched his owner drive away, you know, and just can't do nothing about it. And it's pretty sad, so...
Like a puppy who watched his owner drive away. I like that. I'm going to use that sometime. Iwata definitely an unfortunate victim. And, you know, there was another victim later on in the week, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, really, our batters did not look ready. And some of you might have seen this on the Facebook page, but I'd mentioned that up until the Maeda game, our team, or pardon me, aces, other team's aces going up against our team were a combined 14-1 heading into that one. And then Maeda made it 15-1. So we just cannot beat other teams' star pitchers. And that does not bode well for us come playoff time, because you know that we're going to be facing other teams' best. We're not facing the Pansies in the playoffs. So if we can't beat their aces, we're going nowhere. So that was my big concern in that series, was that we just couldn't get any offense going. But let's move on now to the Swallows series, which was the first series back at Koshien in about 26 days. And we brought our ace to the mound, speaking of aces, on Friday, and he pitched a gem of a game. We won that one 9-0. So welcome back home, Tigers. Great game. The bats came alive. Everybody was firing on all cylinders, and Fujinami looked every bit the ace that people pump him up to be. He looked just as good, if not better, than Johnson and Maeda for the Carp. So 9-0 in that one. Then on Saturday, we brought our other ace, and I don't want to call him Ace 1B, but, you know, Randy Messenger was on the mound, and unfortunately, he allowed a run in the top of the first, but we got a run back in the bottom of the first. So it was 1-1, and it stayed deadlocked that way for a long time until the sixth inning. Finally, Fuji went through, 20 pitches, fouled off, 16 pitches or something crazy like that. Finally, shot one between short and third, brought a run in. It was a 2-1 lead, but that was unfortunately kind of short-lived, because in the eighth inning, Messenger allowed, I think it was 3 hits in a row or something like that, and all three of those guys ended up coming around scoring, so it was 4-2. The relievers kind of said, hey, let's give them a little bit more of a lead, and they ended up taking an 8-2 lead, the Swallows did. And then finally in the ninth, Hiroki Uemoto came in for us, hit a 2-run home run, another garbage time ninth inning, meaningless home run to make the score not respectable, but at least a little bit closer, 8-4 final. And in tonight's game, by the way, it's Sunday night, August 30th for us. We'll be coming at you on the 31st, hopefully. Sunday's game, Iwazaki started for us, and he looked just as good as he ever did in the first 3 innings. Pitched really well. And again, we started our first inning with another piece of Wada beauty, right? His strategy worked to a T. Toritani walked, Uemoto bunted, Fukudome hit, 1-0 lead. We tried that again in the third. It didn't work. And then in the fourth inning, the Swallows swallowed us whole and put a 7 spot up on the board. And the next inning, they got another run. A couple innings later, they got three more runs. So it was 11-1. The Tigers, again, put up a whole bunch of garbage time runs in this one. The bottom of the eighth and bottom of the ninth, they got seven runs. So it ended up being an 11-8 final. But a loss is a loss. And the Tigers went an incredible 1-4 this week. What did you say last week, Mike?
Oh, I was... you know, I'm trying to remember, but you know, I was so busy. I just can't think of my, yeah, I said 5-1. And then if we had the reduced game, I said 4-1. So
that's,
you know, right. I got dyslexia.
Yeah, and I said, so that's... well, it might've been your dyslexia then. I think I called a, was it a 4-2 week? And then if there was a game missing 3-2, something like that. Anyways, I ended with a 3-2 and I was off as well. So we're both quite a bit off on that. But what were your impressions in the Swallows series?
Okay. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about who's our, you know, future for this team. It's Fujinami. And you know, currently it's Messenger. You know, Fujinami's the future. This kid, I am high on Fujinami. Plain and simple. The kid's great. You know, I can't even think of anything else to say about this guy. You know, Fujinami is a great pitcher. What a way to save the day for us, you know, to come in there and just, you know, work his magic and get us the victory. That was awesome. And then...
well, you know, it's... You know, sorry, just let me cut you off for a second. Yeah, it's sometimes, you know, because of the rough week that we had, it's hard to remember that game sandwiched in the middle of that, right? Two losses, the big win, and then two losses. But... yeah, I mean, without Fujinami on that night, what would have happened to our week? Yeah, incredible performance. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and you know, it's just unfortunate. That's the only thing that we had. You know, Fujinami. The rest of the time, jeez, man. You know, the Swallows are the competition, and it relates to what you're saying. If we can't beat their aces, you know, we're not going to do anything anytime. You know, we're just going to continue to lose. And here we are, you know, our lead is getting shorter and shorter. The Giants are winning. The Swallows are winning. Goodness gracious, if we don't start beating the Carp, you know, then we're in some major trouble. We could find ourselves in third place by the end of next week.
And we've got 9 more games left against the Carp, actually. So, you know, we've got a lot of chances to beat them, but unfortunately we're going to be facing Maeda, possibly Johnson, possibly Kuroda. You know, they've got a good bunch of starters as well. So, yeah, we definitely have our work cut out for us. And like you said, the Giants are winning. They swept the Dragons, and the Swallows took 2 out of 3 from us. So our lead is down to 1 game on both of them. And yeah, I mean, we could easily be in third place, if not worse, by the end of next week. So let's hope that doesn't happen. Our hitting seems to only come through when it didn't matter this week. You know, like we scored a bunch of 9th inning and 8th inning runs when we were already down by 4, 5, 6, 8, you know, runs. And when you're down by that much, it doesn't matter if you score 2 or 3 in the 9th. It doesn't matter if you mount a comeback that doesn't amount to anything. I'm just going to say this real quick about the Randy Messenger outing. You know, if you look at his final line, he went 7 1/3 and allowed 4 in runs, and people would say, well, yeah, I mean, if he's got that kind of line, well, you can't expect him to win. But like you had said a couple of weeks ago, when you don't give a pitcher anything to work with or any wiggle room, you know, every time that Randy's going up on the mound, he's going, I can't allow a single run. I can't allow a single base runner. Or, you know, just as an example, sometimes a pitcher gets in a jam and the bases are loaded with 1 out or something. And if you give the guy a 3-run lead, the pitcher can say, okay, you know what? I don't care if they ground out and they get a run here. I'm just going to concentrate on the batter. And what a difference between that and, oh my gosh, if this guy even makes contact with the ball, they're scoring a run, we're screwed, right? And that's the position they've put Randy in. So when the score was 1-1 for all those innings and then even 2-1, the guy has no margin of error, and there's all the pressure in the world on him. So, I mean, yeah, he allowed 4 runs, but if the score had been 3-1, you know, he might have only allowed 2 runs. So it's just completely unfair. It's unfair to our pitchers. And you know, let's just transition right into what a disaster, what an idiot, what a moron, because I'll go first on this one, if you don't mind. The bunt, cut it. Quit it. That's not even my what an idiot. I'll get to that in a second, but I'm just going to say this. Okay, first inning of every stinking game, Toritani has been getting on base, and either Uemoto or Yamato has been called the bunt. Right? Stop it, man. Why are you playing for one run when you know, especially you're going against the Swallows, who can score 5 in an inning or 7 in an inning as they did tonight? Why are you playing for one run, man? Seriously. Okay, but that's not even my what an idiot. This is what it is. On Wednesday, for once in his whole life, Wada called for a hit and run instead of a bunt. In the first inning, Toritani was on first, and he called for Yamato to swing, make connection with the ball, and Toritani was going to be off to the races and either make it to second, or if it's a base hit, make it to third. And Yamato, who's not really a strikeout guy anyways, he's actually a pretty good contact hitter, swung and missed. He whiffed, and Toritani was out at second. And then after the game at the press conference, Wada basically threw Yamato under the bus and said, in that kind of situation, you have to make contact with the ball. You know, and he basically blamed the loss, the 2-0 loss, on Yamato. They didn't score for 9 innings, but it's Yamato's fault because he didn't connect on that one pitch. Give me a break, Wada. You're an idiot. That's my what a disaster, what an idiot. How about you?
Well, you know, I just saw the other day, and I think it was against the Swallows, Uemoto trying to steal a base. And I don't know if it was a hit and run. Dude's clearly out. I mean, they already have the ball, and it's just like they're waiting for him to slide. So I think Wada needs to go ahead and start, you know, focusing on actual practice, like, you know, in practice where they start stealing bases. They need timing down because it was absolutely horrible. But
I think the Tigers probably have the worst stolen base percentage in the history of humanity because I've seen them gunned down so many times. You're absolutely right. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay. No big deal. But my Wada disaster was against, it was Hiroshima. We have a runner, I think, on second. And Iwata's at the bat. You know, he's at the plate. Now,
first and second,
first and second, Iwata. Usually pitchers are not that great of hitters, except for tonight. So Iwata gets up there, and he bunts. And it was a terrible bunt. It went straight to Maeda. Maeda threw to third on a mystery out, because I don't think the third baseman even touched the bag when he had the ball in his hand. And got a double play, inning over. And I'm sitting here like, listen, I've said it before, a few podcasts before. The pitcher gets up there, let him hit. Just let him hit. Their purpose in baseball is not to just go up there and be a pitcher. They're also to be hitters. So who knows? Iwata could have blooped one over the second baseman or the shortstop and got a hit. No. Bunt. Oh, it's a terrible bunt. And it's a double play. And inning over, there goes the, I guess, the so-called threat, you know, that we rarely get anymore. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Get rid of the bunt because that's just an example that it's not working for this team. It's just not.
Yeah, agreed. Actually, I'm gonna disagree with you just on one point, that we are actually getting a lot of threats. We are getting a lot of guys on base, and we're getting chances to do something about it, but we're just not ending up producing in those situations. But, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, give the pitchers a chance to hit the ball, man, because what's the worst that happens? If he goes up there and tries and hits into double play, it's the same thing as what happened, right? That's exactly what ended up happening, was a double play. So, come on, man. So Iwata on the season, by the way, has 3 RBIs. He hit an RBI triple back in May. And, you know, he's got some hits on the season, so he's not a terrible hitter. He's not a great hitter either, but he is a renowned terrible bunter. And I've seen him botch so many bunts over the past couple years that, honestly, yeah, Iwata, quit telling Iwata to bunt. Let him swing that stick. Thank you. All right, Mike. So Iwata, speaking of him, had a good week and, he had a good outing in his time on the mound. One unfortunate solo home run against, and that was the difference in that game, but he pitched his heart out. If he had won that game, I might have considered him for player of the week, but, you know, it's hard to give it to a guy that ended up losing the game. So who do you got anyways for player of the week, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with you. Iwata. Yeah. He had a great outing, like you said. You know, my opinion, feel bad for the guy. My player of the week, I got to give it to Fujinami. You know, I know I'm being biased and everything, but that's okay because Fujinami has proven his worth to this team. I mean, the kid went complete game. You know, he shut down the Swallows. He got us a victory out of all the games we played this week. So that's kind of the highlight. But I just love the fire and the passion that this guy has. He goes out there and he just makes it happen. Let's say he's a younger messenger. In Messenger's game, he was dominating. You could see the desire in that guy. But and Fujinami has the same thing. You know, he realizes, ooh, I made a mistake. He comes right back. Bam, got it. You know, and it's an out or, you know, pop up or something. So that's my player of the week for the victory that he got us and for the outing that he had. I'm going with Fujinami.
Sounds good. And I can't really disagree with you because, I mean, he is the only one that got a win this week for the team. And his outing was outstanding. 8 strikeouts, only 1 walk, which is much fewer than he's allowed lately. Only 3 hits against. And he went full 9 innings, 124 pitches. So good for him. I'm going to go elsewhere just because, you know, it's good for us to have 2 different guys up there. And I'm going to go with my boy Hiroki Uemoto, the lethal weapon, because he came back from his injury a lot faster than anybody expected, which is good. I think it shows a lot of heart on his part and desire to excel and to help the team win. Not only that, though, he comes back and in his 3 outings, he went 4-for-9 with 3 RBIs, including a 2-run home run. Yeah, it was in garbage time, but who cares, right? I mean, he still produced. And not only that, but he succeeded 4 times with the bunt. So, I mean, he's pleasing Wada as well, right? He didn't make any errors. He showed some good range on defense. Welcome back, number 4, Uemoto. Looking forward to a great week with you next week. So you are my player of the week. Good stuff. And I hope next week actually goes better for the team so that it's easier for us to choose a player of the week. Or actually, it might be harder. Because if we win a lot of games, right, it might be harder to choose one guy.
Yeah, well, one person's going to stand out. That's going to, I have a feeling.
All right, well, we'll get to that in a little bit when we get into our predictions. But let's step into our special corner for the week, Mike, or the special feature for the week, which is, who is the key to the Tigers' success in September? We've got 1 month of baseball left, and I think at this point the Tigers are down to 25 games to go, I believe it is. We're going to be playing, by the way, a 10-game stretch in 10 days at the end of the month, which is going to be really killer. And the Carp are actually going 12 games in 12 days in that same stretch, so they've got a tough schedule as well. But really, with 25 games to go and with the Tigers only 1 game up on the Swallows and the Giants, we're not just fighting off one team, we're fighting off 2. And so we really need better than a 500 record, obviously. We're going to need to, in our last 25 games, I'm going to say maybe we need to go 15-10 in order to win the pennant. So who's the key? Who is the one guy or who are the 2 guys that you think the Tigers need to lean on extra hard or the guys that need to step up their game in order for the Tigers to accomplish this feat?
Well, I bet you we can all agree. Gomez needs to step up. He needs to wake up. I'm going to throw him out there. This dude needs to wake up and do something, but he's not my player for September. I'm a big football fan, NFL football guy. And when it comes down to games that you need to win, you got to go with your leader. And that's usually the quarterback. And the quarterback's got to step up and make things happen. For me, I look at the leader of this team right now and I say, it's Fukudome. You know, Fukudome is an older guy. Mm. But he has got to be that guy. I've mentioned it before. We've seen him out there talking to Egoshi, and we've seen him talking to Ito, and, you know, he's kind of making that transition like, hey, this is probably my last time out, and, you know, hey, I'm teaching. I have a feeling he's just going to be that guy that comes through for us. I think he's going to put us over the edge. I think he's going to kind of be infectious. You know, if you remember a little while back, we had Fukudome getting a home run, then Gomez getting a home run, and then Fukudome getting another home run, and Gomez getting a home run. So if one can rub off on the others, I think we'll be in pretty good shape. But he's the leader of this team. I know we got Toritani, you know, the captain, and he's great. He's going to continue to do what he's doing. Umeno, Ito, they need to start bringing their bats around. I think our secret weapon is going to be Uemoto, your pick earlier. I think he's going to be that secret weapon that just adds that little extra. But it's going to be up to Fukudome, in my opinion, to get this team over the goal line and hopefully, you know, a Central League pennant along with it.
I like that. That's interesting. Certainly, yeah, like at the end of May, I think it was the latter half of May and the first half of June, so right around interleague play in that time, Fukudome was on fire. And yeah, he was bringing us the game-winning RBI, game-winning home run, walk-off singles, all that kind of stuff. And he's been bringing his game lately too. I mean, like I said, the WADA plan for victory of getting Toritani on base, bunting him over, and then Fukudome hitting him home. It's happened a lot in the last 3 weeks, surprisingly. We've gotten that first inning run a lot of times. I'll disagree with WADA's way of trying to accomplish that, but certainly Fukudome is a key piece to the puzzle. But I'm going to go with the guy that you talked about and dismissed real quick, Gomez. Not that you dismissed him, but anyways, if you look at what Gomez has been going through lately, until Friday's game, Gomez went 2 weeks, I think it's a 10-game stretch with no RBIs, and the Tigers really struggled during that time. And even so, he got the two RBIs on Friday, then Saturday again he went RBI-less, and then today in garbage time he got another RBI, which was kind of meaningless. But, you know, when Gomez is swinging the bat with confidence, and when he's hitting that ball, when he's bringing guys in, this is a different team. I mean, this is a team that can score multiple runs in an inning, which they really haven't been that good at lately. So I really think that when your number four batter is producing, driving guys in and then giving a chance for the number five guy to drive more guys in, it makes all the difference. So Gomez, definitely a huge key. We need him to step up his game and maybe have like a big 20 RBI month. That would be amazing. But I'm also going to point this out, and I think this is another huge key. Center field. Whoever's playing center field is huge. And so we've got three guys, right? We've got Yamato, who is a defensive gem, but not much with the stick. Okay. Then we've got Ito, who's kind of half and half. He's not really good on defense. He's not really amazing with his bat. He's good, but not amazing. And then we've got Egoshi, who's kind of neither, but at the same time has the potential to be both. I mean, he can make some good plays in center, but he can also do some real boneheaded stuff. But also, at the plate, you know, he can hit the long ball, but he also strikes out an amazing amount of times. So let's assume that the center fielder stays in that number seven slot as they have been for the last little while. If we can get hits and RBIs out of our number seven guy, we're going to go places, because Imanadi right now is setting the table nicely in the number six slot, right? And Merton's been hitting fairly well as well. So if number five and six are hitting, and number seven, if it stalls there, man, that's another big problem. So I'm going to go with center field, the number seven hitter. Just on a side note on that, Yamato last year had an excellent September, and actually his August was excellent as well. So I actually wouldn't mind if they kept Yamato in center as the regular starter. Can Ito, he's okay, but not great. And Egoshi, I mean, bring him in those times where it's kind of an all or nothing and you need the miracle home run or whatever. And then if he strikes out, you know, you go down in a blaze of glory, right? But Yamato, you know, he's been hitting the ball well. And really, man, if you remember last year's playoffs, that guy can make incredible plays in center. So keep him there.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I need somebody who can also catch on the fly. I mean, catch on the run. You know, that would help. I used to love it when I played baseball. I used to love catching on the run. I don't know what it is. I just loved it. But these guys need to do that, because they're going to, if they can't, you know, like we saw tonight, you know, the ball's going to go over the head. It's going to hit the wall. It's going to bounce. And there's more opportunities for the other team to score. And I just want to say one thing. I completely zoned out Gomez. The great thing about Gomez, and I don't want to say he's not doing anything, he is. He's making contact with the ball. That's what makes me happy about Gomez, is there's potential for him to improve because he's making contact. He's not going up there and whiffing all the time. So just to kind of cover up my, you know, or dig up my burying of Gomez, you know, he is doing good things. I just need him to, would like for him to start hitting the ball a little bit more, further than the warning track. So it would be great.
Well, these three RBIs in this series, even if they were kind of in garbage time, I mean, even his two RBIs in the other, in the big win, they weren't clutch RBIs necessarily, right? I mean, when you win 9-0, it's not like those two RBIs were game breakers. But maybe the three RBIs will kind of, you know, lighten the pressure on him a little bit. Maybe he'll loosen up and do a little bit better in the upcoming week. Speaking of which, let's get right into it. Predictions for the upcoming week. So, Wizzo, we got three games against the Carp at Koshien, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yours truly will be at the Thursday game. And then we go on the road against the Dragons in Nagoya. So in those six games, what do you think?
Let's see. Man.
You want me to go first? I'll go first,
okay,
man.
Go first.
I hate to play the pessimist, but I'm going to go with a 2-4 record, and I'll explain why. This three set against the Carp, we're probably going to be facing Johnson and Maeda again, and I don't have confidence that we're going to win either of those games, so I honestly think we're going to win one of three at home against the Carp. And then, as bad as the Dragons have been this year, they've been kind of hot and cold lately, and the Tigers are historically bad in Nagoya in the Dome. So I'm going to say we're going to go 1-2 and 1-2 to finish 2-4 this week. And then hopefully the week after we'll be able to turn things around. But that's my call.
Okay. You know, I'm positive. So, well, not recently. But I'll tell you, I don't think, you know, as good as Johnson and Maeda are, I don't think they're going to be as good at Koshien. There's something about that stadium. It just, people get there and they're like, you know, this place, it's the crowd, it's the fans. You know what I mean? Those, they get on them. So I'm saying 4-2. And I think it's going to be two against the Carp, two against, you know, it might just be one against the Carp, and then we finish out the, boy, sorry, I'll say 4-2.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if we end the week 4-2, I will be very happy, and I'll crown you with something at the end of the week at the next podcast. So I'd love to see a 4-2.
I think it's possible. Eh?
Anyways, the good news is that Tuesday through Thursday, the Swallows are playing the Giants. So only one of the two teams technically can catch us in the first half of the week. And that's if things go absolutely disastrously. I mean, they can't both catch us. So that's kind of good. But hopefully they can kind of duke it out against each other and we can take advantage of that. So let's see how the week goes. Before we wrap things up, let me just remind folks that, you know, nobody actually claimed a prize last week in my contest, but I'm going to keep that one alive because there's still a chance. In fact, there's a good chance I might be meeting up with Randy Messenger sometime in the week to come. I'm really hoping so. But if you have a question that you would like to ask Randy Messenger, or if you have a question for Matt Merton, or if you have a question for Mauro Gomez, send it my way, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Or drop me a note on the Facebook page, Hanshin Tigers English News. Send me something on Twitter, @thehanshintiger. Send us your questions. We definitely want to hear what you want to know from these stars of the Hanshin Tigers. I think it would be a lot of fun, don't you, if, you know, some of our listeners would be able to ask questions and have them answered.
Oh, I think it'd be great. I mean, this is an opportunity, you know, to talk to the ones that we're always talking about. You know what I mean? Messenger, Merton, Gomez, you know, you got your fluency in Japanese. I mean, who knows? You might end up walking into Toritani or, you know, Imanati or something. You know, you never know. So it's always good to have some questions on hand, especially if somebody out there is like, hey, I'd like to ask Messenger what he eats for breakfast, you know, before he goes out for the games. Something, you know?
Exactly. Well, hey, Wizzo, if you've got any questions for me, for Messenger, or for any of them, let me know, because I'll be sure to ask them if I run into them. Anyways, I've also got another contest that I want to throw out to the folks out there, and that is, what is your prediction for the Hanshin Tigers for this month? Like I said, there's 25 games left on tap for the Tigers. What is their record going to be in the month of September and October? And obviously this is going to be a long-running contest because we won't know the results till the end of the regular season. But in 25 games, what is their record going to be? Send me a quick email with what you think. how many wins, how many losses, how many ties, and the person who comes closest to that to their final record in September is going to get a poster of one of the Hanshin Tigers. And like I said in the last show, the shipping and handling is all on me, so you don't have to worry about anything. You just have to send me your address and you will win a sweet prize. All right, so folks, once again, don't be shy about contacting us with your questions or with your entering into these contests. So, Wizzo, I wish you all the best in the week to come. I wish the Tigers all the best in the week to come. Any final words for the folks out there or for the Tigers?
We got to stay positive. We have got to stay positive. These guys, and one of the guys on the site, James, he knows, he's been watching these guys for 30 years. And so we've got to stay positive. They're going to give us gray hairs. They're going to make our blood boil. You know, we just got to support them. You know, we got to stay, you know, we got to back them up 100%. We got to. That's our only option. We're Tiger fans till we die. So that's how that goes.
For sure. Yeah, once again, folks, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate just having a listenership out there. It's just a lot of fun for us. We love talking Tigers. We hope that you love listening to Tigers. And I just want to mention one more thing. You know, the opening song is by Sim Redman Band. It's a song called Hanshin Tigers. Look it up on iTunes. Download it. It's only a buck. And the closing song that I had last week was actually by the wife of one of my good friends. And her name is Aki Bubek. She is actually signed to a record label, and so she's going to be coming out with stuff soon. That song that I use is called Yuyake, and it's her first ever song, but she's in the process of writing new stuff. So if you ever want to, just go on YouTube, check her out. I think her name is Ukulele Punk Girl. She's got some cool stuff out there, so check that out. You can find her on Twitter as well. And enjoy the music, enjoy the podcast, enjoy the Tigers. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you guys real soon. その温かささえ感じさせて夕焼けとともに暮れ